Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Okay, so we are talking about the mashup. And the scripture that I will be coming from is coming from Genesis chapter 35. Verses 1 through 10. And if you could go ahead and open up your Bibles or your phone apps, and it is also showing on the screen. I'm gonna go ahead and read the word in its entirety, and then we'll come back to verse 1. Okay, so, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Verse 3. Get a little slow, so I'll go ahead. Verse 3 says, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Amen. Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under the oak, and the name of it was called Allen Bethkoth. And God appeared unto Jacob again, and when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Amen. So we are talking about the mashup. Okay. So what God gave me is, we have the definition that was given, the original definition. And I'm gonna read that. And Mike, yep, you got it up too. Something created by combining elements from two or more sources. And there, another definition that I found is to apply external pressure on so as to force out a juice or contents. And so that's where I'm coming from, the applying the external pressure, because when you think of something that's being mashed, there is a pressure that is put on whatever is being mashed or squeezed for the contents to come out of it. There is something that's supposed to come out of this mashup. And so when I separated the words, that was the definition, the two definitions for the mashup. But when you separate mash, the definition for mash is to reduce to a soft, pulpy state by beating or pressure. And when you look up, it means in or into a higher position or level. So when we are, as we are talking about the mashup, we're talking about, you know, as we are in this, in a time where things are colliding, things are, things are, have combined, we're doing things that we used to do outside, we're bringing it into our homes, doing everything in the homes. There are, there is a external pressure all over the world. There is a pandemic. There is, you know, civil unrest. There is this whole political thing. There is just everybody wearing multiple hats. There is an issue with dying, and there is so many things that that is happening where there is an external pressure that is being applied to not just the body of Christ, but to all men and women alike. So there is an external pressure. And so I just wanted to give those definitions so you can know where I'm coming from. So Genesis 35 and 1 says, "And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appear unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother." And so in this scripture, there was an external pressure. And so Jacob, like, just to give you a little bit of the history, Jacob, in this particular instance, he is leaving because Dinah was violated, basically. And Jacob's sons did some manipulating, and but they killed all the people that violated her, and which are the Hivites. And so because of that, Jacob had to leave. So he had to leave because he felt like if they, you know, were to get them, they were going to destroy them, destroy all the people. And so he had to fled. And so even in this scripture, it talks about God telling Jacob to go to the same place where he fled before when Esau was after him. And so that is that the first external pressure that Jacob received and God delivered him from. God is telling him to go back to that same place, to that same place as he is experiencing this external pressure again. He's telling him to go back to that place. And there is always, even in the mashup, even with everything that's being mashed, combined, everything that, you know, that is being a external pressure that's coming into our internal homes, that's coming into our internal minds, that is coming into our internal spirits, this external pressure, there is always a place, there's always instructions, there is always a place where God is telling us to go to find safety. And so even as we are in the mashup, there is a place that God is calling each and every one of us to individually, corporately to come to that place. And we have to follow instructions. We can't allow the enemy to distract us from it, especially in this time where it's so much external, just unrest in the world. We as the body of Christ, we cannot be driven by our emotions. We have to be able to hear clear speaking to us. And so, you know, that mashing, that squeezing, you know, we are not excluded from that. There, everybody is experiencing this. And for me, as you know, I'm going to be talking about me during this time, like, it's just the mashup and how I'm experiencing the mashup, because everybody's experiencing a little bit differently. And for me, there's a lot going on in regards to my work. I work in the health human services field. And so, you know, I'm still going to work, you know, from week to week. There's times when I don't, but there's times when I have to come in and report. But the majority of the time I'm at home. And in this mashup, in this external pressure, like, I'm working from home, I am doing so much more than what I was doing when I was in the office. And on top of that, there is no line to draw. Like when I was working, it was like, I'm cutting off. This is when I'm cutting off. That's it. But now I'm working all night. Like literally, like my husband have to say, you know, baby, you still working? Like there is no line. And so it's such a pressure. And on top of that, you know, it's just the line of where do I put God in this equation? Because for me, it's been I had a routine at work in the morning, 5 o'clock prayer, get up, I'm listening to the word in the car, listening to the word at the office, listening to the word, you know, all day, listening to worship music. Come home, I'm full, I'm worshiping, or I'm getting the word. Like my routine has broken. And I have to now find a place of dwelling where God has instructed me to, because everything that I used to do, I'm not able to do anymore. So that is what I thought was keeping me in a place of just keeping me spiritually, keeping me uplifted, keeping the word in my ear, keeping that was the things that I did that kept me. And being that everything is mashed up, it is causing my emotions to be mashed up. It's causing everything to just mix together. And I'm trying to figure out what is what, when do I do what, you know, trying not to be confused and distracted. It's like so many things are going on. But we have to listen to instructions. And I feel like at the beginning of this whole pandemic, you know, God has been giving us great instructions on how to, you know, how to be covered, make sure that we pray, make sure we come out of this with something. There should be some type of fruit that we are coming out. There's so many awesome sermons and themes and I'm still like, God, what are the instructions? Because I don't know about anybody else, but I'm still trying to get to that place where that old norm for me, I'm still trying to hold on to that. And God said, let it go. God told me, okay, you got to let it go. You got to figure out what is this new normal for you? What is this new way? Because I'm prayerfully, we're going to get back. I believe we are going to get back to that. It's not going to be the way it used to be, but it is going to be somewhat the new norm. But so I can't rely on this is what I used to do to be able to keep my spirit up, to be able to build myself up. I have to find that place, that dwelling place. God is telling us, arise and go to that place. Go to the house of God. The house of God is where you build your altar at. So there is that external pressure causing us to change and shift some things. And I just have to say, Mike, the song was all, I did not pick the song. It was chosen by Mike. He's awesome. But that is exactly where God is leading in regards to change. And so in that verse, the first verse, God is calling Jacob to go back to a place where he was with him before, to dwell there, that place where he made an altar before. And so we have to hear the instructions. We have to go to God and say, God, am I ears clogged? Am I being emotionally driven? Because the world is being emotionally driven. People are not looking at black and white. People are not looking at facts. People are not researching and coming up with their own decisions or opinions outcomes, or is everybody else doing it? We feel that way too. And we, as the people of God, the children of God, we cannot find ourselves being emotionally driven. And it's just like everything with the politics and how it looks and what 45 is doing and what 45 is saying, it's crazy. And it can pull you in your emotions. Even us as Christians, it can pull us in our emotions. And so we can't allow our emotions to drive us. We can't allow this external pressure and to put us in a place of being off, being clogged, where we're not hearing, we're not seeing, we're not receiving instructions, we're hearing the instructions, but we're not applying the instructions. And so there is a place that God is calling us to go in this mashup so we need to follow those instructions. We have to be obedient and not think that, okay, God, you call me back to this place. Why are you calling me back to that place? Because I was there already. Like, why? But it is a place of safety. And sometimes we struggle with, why am I being called back to something that I feel like you already delivered me from? And so I struggle with that. Like, God, you already delivered me from disappointment. So why am I going back to that place of disappointment where I've already built an altar there? I already testified. I already praised you for it. So why am I going back to that same place? But God is revealing something to us in this mashup, through this mashup, through everything colliding and it's chaotic. But there is a dwelling place. There is a place of safety that we have to find so we can show others how to find that place as well. And so we have to know that this external pressure, this mashup, is not to kill us. It's not to weaken us, but it is to cause us to submit. It's to cause us to be humble. It's to cause us to be obedient. It's to cause us to show us ourselves, to reveal things that even if we've been delivered from some stuff, there's some stuff where God is going to reveal and he's going to bring us back to reveal more stuff to us, to reveal where the fears have been, how fears have snuck in and just subtly kind of drawn us away from getting to that house of God. And so he wants us to remember his faithfulness. It says, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fledst from the face of Esau, thy brother. So the external pressure before, you're having external pressure again, and realistically, we're going to experience external pressure on another level that we don't even know how. But we are to be prepared when this stuff starts to come. We have to receive those instructions. We have to rise up above everything that's going on, and we have to be the example. But what's going on is the Christians, we are. Everything that is going on externally, and it's mixing in with our beliefs. It's mixing in with our doctrine. It's mixing in with our faith. It's mixing in. It's mashing into everything. So it's what we're believing. Those things are being mashed into our beliefs, and then we don't even realize I'm thinking a certain way. I'm speaking. My speech is a certain way because those things, those external pressures, those things that are corrupt, those things that are tainted, those things, they are mixing up, seeping into our Christian faith, our Christian beliefs, as we are believing the word of God, the word of God. So we have to watch what's being mashed in to what we're believing. We have to watch what's trying to mix in as this external pressure, because the pressure is so hard, we don't even know what's mixing in. All we know is we feel pain from the mashing. We feel pain from things being mixed in and whipped, and there's a pressure and a beating and a whipping to get something out of it. And so we have to look at what is God trying to show us that has mixed in to the body of Christ. What have we allowed to come in? And now God have to tell us to go somewhere to reveal some things to us. So in verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. And so there's strange gods in the land. There's that mashing that I was talking about. There's foreign things that is not supposed to be a part of the body of Christ, the children of Israel. There are beliefs and there are ideas and ideals and thoughts and images, this foreign source that has been mashed into what we believe and mashed into, so why do we have to do it that way? And why it has to be that long? And why we gotta pray like that? And why we gotta worship like that? It don't take all of that. We think we all these foreign beliefs, these are things that is foreign, that has come in. And even when God talks about these strange gods and these idols, is when the children of Israel, you are separated, you are set apart. And so even when you're around other type of ites or other type of people that serve these other gods, you are not even to mix in with them. You are not even, because there is things that they believe that cannot be brought into what I, the true and living God, is instructing you and guiding you and teaching you. And so when those things, God does not want those things to come in, because then what happens is we begin to believe those things. We begin to, and it's so subtle, it's so that you don't even realize that your thoughts has modified. Your how you're doing things have modified a little bit. How your speech is modified, how you're thinking is a little bit differently. And then you don't even realize those foreign things that have come in, because when we think of strange gods, we're like, well, God, I'm not worshiping no strange gods. But the reality is, it's some things that we worship ourselves. We worship, you know, money, power, things. We things that we are trying to grasp and get that is not, you know, we kind of formulate it to line up with the word of God and to make it all right. You know, those are those transgressions where we are like, well, God will be okay with that, and God will be, but they are strange gods. They are foreign. And so those beliefs, you know, when you beliefs are starting to change and revelations are starting to change, and you're relying on certain things that's outside of what God is telling us, that is something foreign has been mixed up into your spirit man, your inner man. There is some things, so we have to look at, God, what has been mixed in? What has been in the mashing? What is gone? Because I struggle. I know I heard Pastor Ivan say before, like, with this whole Black Power thing, I'm Black Power. Like, I'm there. I am there. And sometimes I have to pull away from everything that's going on, because, you know, I already struggle with police and all of that, from what was done to my brothers. You know, they beat my brothers, they did all kind of stuff. And so even now I'd be like, God, no, you know, I cannot hate police. But there is a wrestle in me, like Black, like almost like God had to correct me. Don't be evil. I ain't no white folks. Like, and I love white. I love all people. I really do. And white people have helped me tremendously. Like, there was a time when my husband and my mother and I, we were coming from New Jersey, and our car conked out. We was in somewhere in Virginia, and it was nothing in sight. And this lady came with this hot car. I can't even remember what it was. It was a hot car, and it was a white lady, older white lady. And she said, God said, come. So and this lady took us, brought us into her home. She fed us, gave us money, made a way for us to get back home. It was God. And I've met even other Caucasian people that have been the awesome people. And so, but that wrestle in me from the slavery and the history of all of that, and me just, you know, researching, I'm a researcher, so I'm all researching slavery, researching what happened in this, and I love history, so I'm always looking at stuff, and it's like all that stuff is mixing into what God and the what God is putting in me and developing me, and with that love, and it sure cannot be hate. And it sure cannot be, you know, me looking and giving an evil eye, but that foreign stuff can't be mixed into God calling us to love everybody. And so that those things have, it's a struggle. And we have to look at that. We have to love everybody. We have to pray for our enemies. We have to pray for those that persecute us and use us. Like we can't say, we can't adopt that from the world and say, oh no, I'm not praying for nobody that, you know, that hate me. I'm not praying for nobody that ain't out for me. I'm not praying for nobody who, you know, against Black people. Our belief is we pray for everybody, that we love everybody. And so we can't allow the world to come in and adapt their emotionalism because of civil unrest to come in and put a wall up, and we're not loving like God wants us to love. So we must love everybody. So in this time, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. So there are some things in this mashup that God is revealing to us that has come in and mashed up into the body of Christ. There are some things that come in where our thoughts is off, our speech is off, our faith is off, our trust is off, and God is trying to get us to a place where he is revealing some things to us. And so he's telling us to put away those things. You have to put those things away. You have to identify, you have to have your ears open to hear those things, and you have to make a decision to put those things away and to be clean. So even in this time, God is cleansing us. We are in a huge shut-in. We used to have shut-ins. We come in, we shut in, we pray until a certain time. We are in a huge shut-in where this should be the time where we have shut in and we are truly getting closer to God. We are truly allowing God to reveal himself to us. We are truly allowing God to show us who he is to us in our lives during this time. This should not be idle time. And I'm preaching on me. I have struggled because of the mashup of everything colliding, the mashup of, you know, work and just what's going on with my health and going on with my marriage and going on financially and going on with everything that's going on with my family, my brothers, and trying to put that line and just say, okay, God, this is you. This is your time. I'm having a hard time. So I'm like, okay, God, I need these instructions. I need to show me what that new norm is. I need you to show me what be obedient about that, because it is attainable. We can do it. There is a place when we should be coming out of this mashup. We should be coming out of all of this stuff, and we should be at a place spiritually where there is growth, there is maturity, there is spiritual growth and maturity. There is words God has spoken to us. There are things there should be some type of change that comes out of this. And so God is trying to purify us in this time. He is revealing truth to us through the mashup. He's trying, what did he deliver us from that has returned that we need to be purified from again? What fears that we've been delivered from that now we're fearing again because this huge colliding or this combining of everything that is going on? What has come upon us? What is foreign that's in there? What has mashed into our beliefs? There is a changing of our garments. There is a changing that needs to take place in our garments. And change the definition to pass through, grow up, to go on from, to give a different position, course, or direction to replace with another, to make a shift from one to another, to undergo a modification of. There is a change that needs to take place. There is a shift that needs to take place. And it is new for everybody, but our shift as the body of Christ needs to be a little bit higher. We need to be a little bit more clearer. We need to be, because we as the body of Christ have to be on point. So everything, we're all going through the same thing in the world, but as the body of Christ, there is a different type of modification. There's a different type of shifting that has taken place, that we need to flow with God in the shift, and we have to line up with the word of God, and we have to do all that we can to find that place to be able to hear and come out of this thing victorious, and come out of this thing being fruitful, and come out of this thing with strength and power and authority on a whole nother level. So there is a change in our garment. Our praise need to be better. When we think about the garments, we think about the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There is a changing out. There is garments, and the definition for garment is wrapper, mantle, covering garment, garments, clothes, raiment, a cloth. So we know that garment, that mantle, we understand that, you know, even the representing the mantle, the covering, there is a changing. But there's also another definition for garment. Where did I put it? I don't know if I gave it to you, Mike. Nope. It is, garment also symbolizes a character's development, inner nature, or spiritual state. So there is a changing of the garment. There is a character change that God is trying to do in us. There are some things that when we come out, we can't say that we don't know how to be friends anymore. When we come out of this thing, we can't say, because there is a point where I miss the body of Christ. Like, I understand how much I need. Like, I feel tears about to come. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so real, because for me, like, this time of isolation, this time of shutting, at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is what I like. Like, this is me right here. And the Holy Spirit is like, this is not you. This is not where you fit. This is not you. This is not where you fit in. This is not where you belong. This is not how you like it. This is not. And God is like revealing to me in my day-to-day life that it really isn't. When I thought that, you know, I'm good by myself. I'm good. You know, that's that strange God. That's that foreign stuff that mixed in. Like, you know, I'm good. I ain't got to visit nobody. Nobody got to visit me. I'm good where I'm at. No. Because reality, my spirit man is like desiring to be around the people of God. It needs to be around the people of God. My healing is surrounded by the people of God. My praise is ignited when I'm around the people of God. And so this place, this mashup, and this separation, by it, when we come out of this thing, we are going to love so much harder. We're going to press so much more to be there for one another, more than we have before. We will be able to come out and appreciate, oh my God, like how much we need each other, because we have not been able to come together in the house of God. And I'm grateful for the opportunities that we have, you know, with Zoom and different things, how we come for different events, but it's not the same. It is not the same. And so there is a changing of the garments that need to take place in our character. There is a changing where we're going to love more. We're going to be there more. We're going to sacrifice more. We're going to pray more. We're going to, that whole servitude spirit It needs to be on a whole nother level. God is trying to develop our love for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We just going out the way and sacrificing on a whole nother level because we understand where we have come out of through this mashup. And so I understand that in my inner nature, God is doing something, because even when my flesh is like saying, you, this is okay, my spirit is overpowering that. And like, I need y'all. I need to be around y'all, love y'all, hug y'all, shout with y'all, cry with y'all, be delivered with y'all, you know, sharing the floor with y'all. Like, I mean, just, I need it in my life. I need it for life. And so there is a changing in the garments. There is a changing, there is a development that God is doing in us through this mashup. So there is a change taking place, and that we have to be able to hear clear enough to know what are the instructions, what is he revealing to us, what in this external pressure is he trying to show us, what is it, and what is he trying to change and develop in us. There is something. There is absolutely everybody. We are all in the same boat together. And so, verse 3, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And so, when we face these external pressures, we have to still rise up. We can't allow depression and heaviness, the things that are weighed down that's going on in the world with the external pressure. We can't allow that to come in and make us heavy, make us down, we should be praising more. We should be fasting more. We should be worshiping more. We should be rising up above. There should be a light so bright that people see and say, what are you doing? Do you understand that there is a pandemic going on? Do you understand everything is combining and colliding and clashing? But even in everything that we have to do, God has given us a place to dwell. There is a place for that. There is safety there. We have multiple hats on. I don't have any kids, but I understand having to wear the multiple hats. I can, when I think about my sisters and brothers, and I'm like, oh my God, they're doing this. Especially if you have multiple kids, you got this class, you got all this stuff, husband, wife, teacher, all this stuff. I'll be like, you know, I want kids, but I'll be like, dang, this is a good time, right? No, Lord, it's not a good time. But I understand, like, I'll be like, I don't got to deal with that. But there's some other spiritual stuff that I got to deal with. There's some other multiple things that Natara got to deal with. That personality of, I don't need that. I'm good with that. I don't need people. I don't need all that stuff that try to come in, like all these identities that's trying to come in because of external pressure. So I don't have to deal with, you know, the differences of kids without the differences of myself. And it's a lot to deal with when Natara is wrestling with. It's a lot to deal with. That is not your personality. That is not who you are. This is who you are. And so I have to always deal with those things and be able to multitask and cast stuff down, cast these spirits, everything to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I have to continue to wrestle and fight with those things, with those different hats and identities that try to come. You know, I want to be rebellious one day. I want to be sexy one day. I want to be seducing one day. I want to be, it's all kind of stuff. Like, I want to be, you know, I want to put my Tim's on, and I want to be thug one day. I want to put my hand up and don't be won't bother one day. Like, it's all kind of stuff that I have to deal with that I can't allow these old hats to try to return. I have to remember God's faithfulness and remember that God has delivered me, but God is still showing, he's taking us back to some places and say, okay, I delivered you from that before. I could deliver you from that again. So we have to rise up and face what we have to face it. I have to face why I have struggled with finding my new norm and getting to that place and getting to the house of God, getting to that place of Bethel. Why, Natara? Why are you struggling with you're not going to the church, you're not around people, you're not, things are differently, but why? Why, when you have done it before, when you got up, you had your routine, you had it, why? What is it? And there is a, and it's always been there. It's whatever it is, even through the things that I did before that I felt like were good because I was, you know, allowing God and listening to God and reading the word and worshiping. But even in that, there was still this other thing that was still in there that God is trying to reveal why, when I used to cry and say, God, if I could just stay home and worship you all day. When I used to say, God, if I could just stay home and just read the word all day. And oh my God, he's given us the opportunity to. And I have to say, I have not done it all day. Like I would be like, God, if I could just give this to you all day. And I have not done it till this day. There is something there that God is trying to get us to rise up above and to face. We have to rise up. We have to go up. There is a higher level. There is a elevation. There is a rising up that even that we have to find. We have to rise up and stand against what that thing is, that little thing in us that got us off, that even when we thought we were doing it, and not to say that we wasn't doing stuff right or wrong. Like that, even in the rightness, there was something there that God still trying to show us. Excuse me. And I will make there an altar unto God. So we have to go back to that place. And he tells us to go back to that place because he wants us to be familiar with when he kept us before. And even though it's a place familiar, it's not the same. So that place that God is telling us to go back to, it's a place of safety and comfort. It's a place that we can be vulnerable. It's a place where we can be open. We can be truthful, and God can reveal to us some things about ourselves. It's a safe place, but it's still a new place, even though we've been there before. So sometimes we think, well, God, you're telling me to go back to this place, but you delivered me from this before. Sometimes we think it's a setback and we're hindering ourselves. So we have to face what is it? What is God trying to show us? And why have not we gotten there yet? Why haven't we, I'm picking my husband. Why haven't we studied more, been on the keyboard more, when I don't have no time to be on a keyboard? But the keyboard is looking in your face every day. Why have I not worshiped all day? Why have not, we should have sermons like crazy. We should have songs. We should have dances. And I'm just saying, maybe some of you have. Maybe this is just my struggle or my household struggle. But why? When all we did was when we were asking God, oh, if I could just have more time, or if I could just do this, and I go, what was that? Was that just lip service? What was it? So we have to look at what is that thing where we have that we ask God and then he's given it to us and we still we still haven't gotten to that. What is he trying to reveal to us? Why is we returning back to a place where he kept us? It's because of safety. So this is a time of safety. This is a time of dwelling. This is a time where you can be free. You confess. Confess your faults one to another. There is nothing blocking us from calling and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. Like, I'm dealing with everybody being pregnant and I ain't pregnant yet. I'm dealing with, I feel like I'm about to start menopause. And okay, God, what's going on? Like, this is a place of vulnerability. This is a place of being open and confessing, facing some things that from external pressure that's making us to deal with it. It's just like you're being in the middle of these walls that's closing in on us, but it's causing us to face some things. It's causing us to go, and this is between you and God. And the deliverance, when we succumb, look, you have to go get on the floor and say, loose yourself. Like, you have to get on the floor, get your scriptures, and you have to, and your husband or wife, there needs to be deliverance in your house. Like, you don't need nobody else to lay hands. Unless, it might be some circumstances where you have to. But look, there needs to be a deliverance that needs to take place. There are some things that God is trying to force us to face. He's squeezing us in this mashup, and we have to get it. We have to get it individually and corporately. We have to get it. And so in this house of God, this place of worship, there's a place where we need to reside. It's a comfortable place. Go ahead, confess it. Be vulnerable. We talk about what's really going on. Talk about how these external pressures are really making you feel, how they really are throwing you off, how they really making you think differently about life and think differently about, death and think differently about your fears and your doubts. We have to be real about what this mashup is causing, this external stuff, and be real about what has mixed in to your Christian life, your Christian walk. Because God answered, he answered me in the day of my distress. When we go to that place, he answers us in that place of distress. He did it before and he will do it again. So we have to change our garment. What are you doing different? What garment has changed? How are you maintaining your peace, your joy, your faith, your trust, your love? How are you maintaining these things? How are you exercising? How are you practicing? How are you doing things a little bit differently? How are you changing your garment? How are you changing your character? How are you changing, to be able to bear more fruit, to produce more fruit? What has changed in this new norm? I'm going to skip verse 4. I'm going to go to verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So even in this time, we still need to be moving. We still need to be, as nothing is on halt because we're in a pandemic, because things are colliding, these are combining. We still need to rise up and we need to move forward. And the good thing is, even in this scripture, there is a terror. It says, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. So this stuff is around, all surrounding us. But during this mashup, we are in a safe place because God is dealing with some stuff. There's some terror going on in the world. But we can say, even in that, and I'm not saying some things will form. Some things will form, but they won't prosper. But even in that, we have to move forward because God has, in the Hebrew definition for journey, is to pluck up, to be removed. So God plucked us out of everything that's going on. He's plucked us out of some situations that could have hit us very hard. I mean, I actually, last Friday was around, we had one of the, our coworkers got promoted and they was leaving to a different office. So we came together, we all social distanced, we all had masks on, but one of the persons, one of my coworkers that was there was tested positive for COVID. And I hugged them, like did the side hug, you know, you like, you know, we all got our mask on, but the reality is I could have gotten it, but I didn't. I got tested and I don't have it. But the thing is, even around all everything that's going on, God is plucking us out. He's removing us from everything that is the terror that is going on in this country. He's removed us because things can hit us so much worse. As we walk the path of righteousness in this journey, we have to continue to move forward. As God is judging the world, there is a judgment on the world. And we have to make sure that this external pressure, these things, that these foreign things are not getting mixed up with our Christian walk, our Christian beliefs, what we believe, because we can get caught up in the terror. And that's not what we want. That's not what we believe for. That's not what we hope for. That's not our expected end. But God is still trying to reveal some stuff to us. So keep moving forward. Don't stay stagnant. Don't be complacent. Like, I can't do nothing. This is just where it is. So I'm just going to stay right here. No. You stay in a place of safety, but there is a moving spiritually that we need to continue to move in this journey as God is developing us. Verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. So even in this time, it's such a major, I can't even stress how major it is, what's going on in the world right now. And not just the world, but the body of Christ. It is something major that God is doing in the spirit realm. There is something major that God is even through this, that God will even give us the authority to rename something. So everything where the enemy tried to put infirmity, God says healing. When I can name it, like I can name that I've been diagnosed with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. But even in this, in my growth and me moving forward, I'm just telling all my business, this is my opportunity to be vulnerable with y'all. Because I am healed. I believe I'm healed. I am healed. And so be it. But even that, I have the authority coming out of this where it was called that, and I could call it, I'd name it something else. The authority, because Jacob came to Luz. The place of Bethel was already named Luz. So who was Jacob to come? Jacked up Jacob, trickster, surplanter, you come manipulator, you come, but you following the instructions of God, even with all the mess and everything that's going on, God has given the ability to come to a place that's already named, and that God, you can name a place. I rename you this. I rename you healed. I rename you healthy. I rename you whole. I rename you faithful. I rename you with trust, you a woman, a man of trust. A woman of hope. We can rename. God has given us the authority to rename some things. And it is all through the mashup spiritually. It's spiritually. I renamed this place prosperous. I renamed it. Look, I renamed this. I renamed you a loving person. Not a moody person. A stable person. Not a lazy person, a productive person. We have the authority to rename some things. Not what the enemy wants, And this is where this character changed, these changing of our garments. These are these things, we God is changing some things. And we have the ability to rename it. In verse 7, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And so we in the place of, we went to the place of the house of God. He told us, he instructed us to go to the place of the house of God. And he built there an altar and called the place. So even though, like I said, it's a place that's familiar, a place where we could be vulnerable, a place where God has revealed himself, his faithfulness, he kept us. But and he called the place El Bethel, which means, Bethel means house of God. El Bethel means God of the house of God. So it's a higher level. God is calling us to a higher level of not just the house of God, but putting God before the house of God. Putting God, there's an understanding of God revealed himself on another level. Because before, during the external pressure, we said, we named that place the house of God. Now it's the God. We understand there is a greater knowing, a greater level of who he is. There's a new chapter of growth, a new chapter of maturity that comes through this type of pressure. So even for us as Christians that have walked in this Christian walk for a long time, there is still a revisiting. There's still a place of going back to where God is revealing himself on a whole nother level from something he already delivered us from. He already kept us from. There is still a higher level of knowing him, who God is, to rename that place. God, you're not just the house of God. You are the God of the house of God. And God appeared. So I'm skipping verse 8 because I'm a little bit long with it. Going to 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again. And when he came out of Padan Aram, the ram, and blessed him. And so God is in this. I want you to be encouraged. God is blessing us. He's appearing to us. I mean, just being honored to, you know, you struggle with, oh my God, I got to teach. But it's like when you're doing it, your spirit connects and it's like, oh God, I get to do what you call me to do. It's such an honor that God even come and appear to us in this place of still trying to figure stuff out. Like, we're still trying to get it. We're still trying to grasp it. Like, it's still such a, God, you're still appearing to me. You're still speaking to me. You're still blessing me, even through all this, and I'm trying to figure some stuff out. God is blessing in a mashup. He is changing in a mashup. He is setting up blessings for generations and generations and generations in the mashup. And so we have to make sure we're finding our place in that. And God said, verse 10, God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. So even as God has given us authority to rename some things, God is renaming us. There is a changing in us. There is a garment change in us, in the mashup, in everything colliding, combining, multiple hats, external pressure. We're not going to be emotionally driven. We're going to be driven by the word of God, led by the word of God. No more fear, no more doubt, no more uncertainty. There is, in this mashup, we're revisiting some things for God to reveal himself on a greater level. So we will be victorious. We will be more than conquerors. We will be faithful and strong and loving, forgiving. These are the things that God is renaming us to be as we're changing in his place. So don't fight the process during the mashup. Everything colliding. Don't allow the world to mash in some things with the word of God. Don't allow foreign things to come in. Allow God to reveal to you what needs to change. How to deal with change of these things that are colliding. Rise above the old normal and embrace the new. We have to embrace some new stuff, a new way of doing things, a new way of reaching out, a new way of connecting, a new way of communicating. God has taken us back, but it's still a new place. So let's rename this place by putting God before it. This is a God thing, a permanent change. And when you put God first, God will change your name in the mashup. It don't feel comfortable, but it is a great thing. Amen.